funny to you that you almost skip laughing and you just start crying? Because I'm about there right now.
We're all freaks on the inside.
An acquired taste.
It's an acquired taste podcast. Woo, 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 woo. The show that gives you all of the fun and you don't need AA batteries because they're not included anyway.
But they are encouraged.
Yes. I am Bethany Watson. I'm here with Kathleen.
Hello.
And Sam.
Hi.
And we're back for another episode. Episode like 118 or something.
Where did we go? Well, that's a loaded question.
Yeah. Well, can we be honest?
Yeah, please. I love that.
You two are on vacation right now.
We are.
Yeah, I'm not here.
I'm on staycation.
You're staycating. I'm currently in Florence visiting my baby sister because she's studying abroad.
Florence, Italy, not Florence, your aunt.
No, it's Florence, Wyoming.
Florence, Wyoming.
I hear it's beautiful this time of year.
Yeah, so we're pre-recording. So as we record this, it is, what is it, like 85 degrees out?
Oh, it's so nice.
And I'm trying to not have the AC on in my apartment as much as possible this year. And so I am dressed, as I told you guys, like a 90-year-old Palm Beach housewife.
You look like an extra from the movie Green Gables.
I'm wearing like a caftan slash romper.
Yes.
And a scarf around my head and then a short ponytail.
You could be Lily Pulitzer's like sort of dark poetic niece.
Yeah, I'm like Lily Pulitzer's like goth aunt.
I want to call you Mama.
Yes. So anyway.
Mama, baby.
Mama.
So welcome to an Acquired Taste podcast. Today our topic is we're actually going to decode each other's dreams.
Yeah.
I love this.
Because I was shook into a dream last night and then I kind of told the future with it a little bit. So I'm like, we gotta dig deeper into this.
Yeah, and I have one that I had when I was a young child, and it stuck with me my whole life. But first, there's some housekeeping things we need to get through.
Yes.
Sam. Somebody get the broom. Yes.
I have something crazy that's... So a listener, Jacqueline Lee, got in touch with us, and she wanted to send us her book. And it's a book of poetry, and it's called Under the Influence, and it's self-published. And it was so sweet for her to send us each one. But my favorite part of all of this is the reason she sent this to us was because we... quote unquote normalize and verify her feelings and issues that she's been going through.
Oh wow.
Which is represented in this book of poetry.
Oh wow.
So we be touched, girl.
That's a huge honor that I think is more about you, Jacqueline. I'm guessing that you're braver than we are normalizing, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's
but good
just
for you. That's amazing.
Incredible. I don't want to crack it open yet because I'm
oh, I've been reading it since the second you handed it to us. Wait, can I just read one tiny little thing?
Yeah.
This is a poem from Jacqueline's book. Some people will comfort you through your grief. Hold on to those people. Some people will berate you through your grief. Let go of those people.
This is true. By the way, if someone berates you through your grief, let go of that person immediately, even if it's out of a moving car.
I don't care for being berated, no matter what state I'm in.
No.
I'm trying to remember if I've ever berated somebody through their grief. Do you know if somebody...
Is that what tough love is?
Oh, so you know if you have... I think it is kind of what tough love is.
Oh, no.
I often question my ability to mother anything because of these issues within myself. But just say someone's having a tough time and they keep saying the same thing over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Like say a friend is dating a guy and they broke up and she says to you, but I am the color blue and he said he could never love the color blue. Mm-hmm. And then the next day she comes back to you and says, but I am blue and he said he could never. And sometimes not berating, but sometimes you're just like, you need to wake up.
Yeah, I think there's a difference between berating and tough love. I think that berating is just done without a sense for the other person's well-being or without any sense of how they might be feeling on the receiving end.
Yeah.
I think tough love is like, I literally am doing this for you.
I think you're right. The key difference.
Yeah.
Berating is I'm tired of this crap or you're being crazy and I don't like it.
Yeah.
It's a selfish. The tough love is when you're thinking about the other person.
Yeah, I think that. But it is it's a razor's edge of a difference.
Yeah, when you get really frustrated and that tough love is frustration love, I think it's hard. I don't know if I walk that balance so well with my friends and family.
That's a tough one.
I'm
so sorry.
No, that's okay. We're talking with Jacqueline.
Speaking of dark also, so I want you and the listeners at home to keep tabs on my mood. As of today, I am down to a lower dose of my Lexapro because the dose I was on was not necessarily may or may not have been like legal in the U.S. based on FDA rulings.
What are you saying?
So we're
right
back
now
down to like
rule schmools,
right?
Okay,
lower level. Now that I'm not burning candles at all ends, so we'll see how this goes.
Theophany.
I was under the doctor's medication. Like the doctor is the one who prescribed it. Just really high dose.
Okay,
she I'm so being
she's
observed.
Like, we're gonna do something kind of crazy.
Literally, she was like, okay, this is what we have to do.
An apple a day.
Did she, before saying anything, put her hand out a la Aladdin and go, do you trust me?
Yes. And then I took it and I was like, I do. And she's like, okay, this is what we're going to do.
I can calm your whole world.
So it was a short term thing just to get me through some stuff. And now the stuff has gotten through. And so we're back to like a legal dose of Lexapro.
Yay!
Shout out to Lexapro.
I don't know why, but what you just said reminded me of, and I know this podcast is, we're posting it a week after we're recording it, so this is old news by now.
Yeah.
But this interview just came out with Kanye.
Yes.
And our friend Charlamagne from The Breakfast Club, that's a radio morning show here in New York on Power 105 and across the country, syndicated. Anyway, we love Charlamagne.
Yeah, he's great.
He's really hot.
He's amazing. And he gives the best hugs.
Good hugs.
He's a committed hugger. Yeah. He's here for the whole wraparound.
And I just have this thing for guys with naturally dark eyelashes, and it makes them look like they're wearing eyeliner.
He looks like he's wearing false eyelashes at all times.
Game changer. Is this why you wanted a segue?
Okay. No. Okay. So the segue is that he did this interview with Kanye. It's on YouTube. It's like 3 million views right now. Kanye said, I don't want to call it a breakdown. I want to call it a breakthrough.
Yep.
He is someone who would say that.
Yeah. Sometimes it is a breakdown.
But I'm okay with. Yeah. But see, what I think he kind of did with that, I see what he's doing and I don't disagree what he's doing. But what he's accidentally doing is putting a negative connotation around breakdown.
Yeah.
And no one raises their hands in hopes for one. But sometimes the breakthrough is at the other end of the breakdown. Like,
yeah.
It's necessary.
And sometimes you just have a breakdown. Like when we were all getting ready to go to the Grand Canyon and I was on that planning text, round robin of texts.
And you almost didn't come.
And I had a panic attack in the middle of the sidewalk in Chelsea. Like, sitting down in the middle of the sidewalk and crying and not being able to breathe, that's no kind of breakthrough. That's just a breakdown. But that's fine. But like, but that happens and that's fine.
Yeah.
Like, it's nothing to be ashamed of. So don't let Kanye shame you. Don't ever let Kanye shame you.
I kind of want to make that the title of the podcast.
I'm writing it down.
Put that on the possibility
list. Don't let Kanye shame you.
Anything else we need to get to, or should we go into dreams?
I don't think so. I think we should start addressing dreams.
Okay. Was there a girl band named Dreams?
Yeah, Dream.
Dream.
They did. He loves me. He loves you not.
Oh, he loves me. He loves you
no
not.
No matter what you do, he's never gonna be with you. He's into what.
And that's me.
He loves me. He loves you not. I miss those days.
Mm. That was a bop.
Wow, that was so good.
Mm-hmm. Did you guys also have that fragrance from The Gap called Dream?
No. Mom did not like me to wear those kinds of smells.
I can guarantee, like the baby prostitute smells. I can guarantee that there are a lot of people listening here that have that. And the lotion and the soap.
Okay, speaking of Dream, let's go into dreams.
Yes. Okay. So can we get into what kicked this off?
Yes.
So last night, and this isn't unusual for me, unfortunately I have dreams related to work all the time. And I only say unfortunately because it sucks when you dream about work and then you wake up to do the work. Ugh. It's like, what happened to the sleep?
Yeah.
So anyway, I had a dream last night that Kathleen got new prescription glasses and they were tortoise on the top. They were her signature thick frame.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're tortoise on the top and then brown on the bottom, like two-thirds, like the U shape.
Cute.
And they were super cute.
Yeah.
And Kathleen was panicking because she hated them, but like an unrealistic amount of, like, just buy the new glasses. But like they were sewn to her face.
Okay.
Like, she was so upset about these. Acting like they were, as in like you were so upset, like they were a permanent part of your body. And the worst part was I'm like, but these are so cute. She looks adorable.
Like, not only are you panicking, you're wrong.
Yeah. Okay. And you could take them off for a hot second if you don't like them that much. You're sobbing. I'm like, Kathleen, you look so cute. These are such cute glasses. And that was my entire dream. There was no resolve. And then when I told Kathleen that this morning, she said,
I'm getting new glasses.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that funny? And like, I haven't gotten new glasses for like probably 2 years.
And you haven't talked about it or anything? No. That it would like be something Sam had heard?
No.
Why am I dreaming about your new glasses?
I know. Okay. Warby Parker just came out with this like really cute translucent pink pair of glasses.
They did look cute.
That's what I'm getting. But that's very strange because I just decided last night that I was like, okay, I'm going to get new glasses. It's time.
You sent it to my brain.
Yeah.
This is what happened. Okay.
I think I know what it means.
So, okay. But not even using the Googles. Go, girl.
I think you're projecting on me. Huh?
Okay.
What do you you think, Bethany? She's projecting?
Explain yourself.
Okay. I think that maybe there's something going on with you on the surface that you know is fixable, that you know is like an expendable issue. Like it can just disappear if you wanted to make it disappear. And you're projecting on me because like something so trivial that you can just take off and change like at a moment's notice without much effort. I think maybe that you've got something going on like that.
Ooh. You're definitely right. I'm just trying to figure out, is it the number 7 thing that's like that or the number 12 thing in my life?
I mean, burger like with that. Fries, the number 7.
There are some people who believe that like every person in your dream is you.
Yes.
Is an extension of you.
Right.
I like that idea, Kathleen. I think that's very good. I think we talked about this once before. I was taught in my AP Psych class in high school that in order to interpret a dream, you're supposed to describe the thing, like the main thing, as though you're describing it to an alien trying to make the alien understand what it is. So like if you were trying to describe what glasses were, mm-hmm. you would say they're external, they're removable, they help you see clearly, I don't know what else. They can be changed.
Yeah, it's made of glass.
Yeah. So then you think of other things in your life that are like external, can be changed, but help you see and... You know,
okay.
You know, maybe that's the thing you're actually worried about.
Okay. I need new glasses. That's what I'm supposed to be getting out of this?
No, you have to think of something else in your life.
I need a monkey.
Maybe you want to shave your head.
Maybe I want to shave my head. Wow. That's it. I think we nailed it.
Did you
go, Kathleen?
Both of you guys, I brought this up as a very giddy topic, and both of you guys are getting gravely concerned.
I'm like trying to analyze your dream.
I know, I just wasn't ready for this. Okay, wait, let me take off my summer trench.
I mean, keep going. We're being a little bit trivial about this, so it's probably something more serious going on with you. So.
I do, but why is it, Kathleen?
But you don't pay us enough money to really give you the good advice.
I think it's Kathleen because you're with her a lot.
Yeah.
You know, she's your work wife.
It's mm-hmm. true. That
so it makes
true.
Sense.
We do eat, sleep, and breathe each other.
Yeah.
When does that hit an unhealthy point?
I think it means I'm gonna analyze your dream if it kills me. You two are like, ha ha ha, and I'm like, no.
Do it.
Analyze. I think that it means that you're like worried about something, like Kathleen said, that is like actually very changeable, but feels very permanent.
Yes.
Okay. Well, this has been a fun episode. Who wants to go around the table and say what you learned this week?
I know what it's about, too.
I know what it's about.
We're not going to cover that.
But you need to discover for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Who are you texting right now?
I'm just trying to deter the conversation by Googling what does it mean if I dream about...
Well, I'm on dreammoods.com right now.
So what does Dream Moods say about glasses? I want to know what that figure says means according to the interwebs.
Okay. It says, as far as eyeglasses, to dream that you're wearing glasses and you don't normally wear them suggests that you need a clearer view on a situation. There may have been a misunderstanding or a situation was misperceived and needs to be clarified. There's a different meaning for broken glasses, glassware, sunglasses, or 3D glasses.
What about tortoise shell glasses?
They don't mention tortoise shell glasses.
Who has dreams about 3D glasses?
I don't know. They're very current.
People who are very colorful with their dreams.
So ooh, that's that.
You're multidimensional.
Fine.
So what's your dream about, Sam?
That's I accept that those are the things that you're giving me.
Uh-huh.
And I need to cut out dairy.
Okay.
They say that if you take vitamin B6 before you go to sleep, it can help you remember your dream in the morning.
I don't know that's if I want to.
What about you, Kathleen? Do you have one?
I do.
Okay.
Okay, this is wild.
So lay it on us.
Okay.
So I'm going to get serious.
Our friend Scary Jones from The Big Show, he was in my dream the other day and he was moving.
Okay.
And I had just inherited this house, this like old historic house.
Cool.
And I said, Scary, you can come and live with me. Like, it's not a problem. And I remember walking into this house and I'm going, oh my God, this would be a perfect place to host book club.
Yeah.
All right.
But there were like people working in the house. Like it was also an event space. But it was just, oh, okay. So Skiri's like, okay, great. I'm going to move in with you. And my husband was not a factor at all in like anything that was going on.
He was still like, he existed.
I don't even remember. But like Skiri, it wasn't a love situation between Skiri and I. He was just moving. So then I open one of the doors. I'm like, Skiri, let's go explore this like crazy old house together. I open one of the doors and we are in the 1890s in Ireland.
What?
Whoa. Yeah.
You had like a dream Kathleen version of the movie Midnight in Paris.
Yes, I did.
Wow.
I love Midnight in Paris.
Wait, yeah. Isn't that also, what's that series of books that is also now a TV show? Where it's this nurse.
Hunt for the Red October.
No, it's Diana Gabaldon. It's
it's also that Hulu series with James Franco.
A Handmaid's Tale.
No. 1907. What year was Nixon? Not Nixon. JFK shot.
2004.
1963. Isn't it called? It's after a year. It's a Stephen King novel.
No. That's, well, yes. Also similar. Outlander. Oh, I'm thinking of Outlander.
Outlander. I tried to get into that.
I was close.
My sister-in-law is obsessed with that. People love Outlander.
Apparently the TV show is like middle-aged woman porn.
Yes.
Oh. Where it's just like a lot of really heated, like a woman in a petty skirt. Like normally my kind of petticoat. Anyway.
Yeah.
So anyway.
So, and then we were like, whoa. And then I was like, let's go back. And then so we went into the 1890s in Ireland and somebody in there warned me to get out. There's like this old lady at a bar because I went, the first place I went to in my dream was to drink.
Clearly.
And this old like sort of crotchety lady at the bar with this gray wiry hair. And I remember she was wearing like a taupe colored skirt top thing. It was, you know, very old fashioned, very full skirt. And then over it, she had a floral apron like a barmaid would wear in a historical movie. And she like took her crooked finger and she looked at me and she's like, hey, you don't belong here. You need to get out of here or something bad will happen.
So she was saying it for your safety.
Yes. Okay. And so then Skiri and I left and Skiri was out doing something. And then before I woke up, I was standing in front of the door contemplating whether I wanted to go through again.
Ooh. Wow. I tried to look up so many different things, but Bethany, your apartment doesn't want me to go on the interwebs right now.
Do you want me to log you on?
Yeah, that would be really great because there's so much to search. I'm not surprised to hear it's Ireland because you love Ireland and you have a deep connection to it. And yes, we have talked about it multiple times in travel. So that could just be something. So that part might just be something that's on your mind all the time.
It's so weird.
But you don't belong here.
Where am I trying to go that I shouldn't go?
Okay, here's my thought.
Okay.
I think
that
you once before tried to do something.
Yeah.
But it wasn't the right time. And so you're afraid to try it again.
Yes.
But you woke up when you were contemplating going back, even though the woman had said you don't belong here. I think that it's time for you to like try the thing again that you tried before that wasn't at the right time. Like this, like a huge risk. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So this says a situation in your current life may be bringing about those same old attitudes and feelings. And this is reflected in the old home. So alternatively, the old house may symbolize your need to update your mode of thinking if you see a messy or depleted houses in your dreams, then it applies that aspect of your own life is in chaos.
Okay, yes, and?
Well, my house is always in chaos.
Now, you looked up old house?
Yes.
I looked up time travel.
Okay.
Okay. So
a jolt.
Okay.
Go, what do we got?
Sam said that, and this says, to dream about time travel indicates your wish to escape from your present reality. You want to go back into the past or jump forward to the future to a period where your hopes are realized.
Oh.
This dream also represents your romantic tendency and your desire to romanticize everything, which is super you.
You do romanticize everything.
Do you know what I've been romanticizing lately? And Bethany, since you have experience in this field, you could probably snap me out of it.
What?
There's this really cute coffee shop in my neighborhood called Boy.
Yeah.
And every time I walk by, I go, I just want to quit everything and work at Boy.
Oh, no, you should.
No, you don't.
Like, I just want to, like... You too.
I think everyone should quit
we
their job.
We are friends.
Friends.
Oh, God.
I'm romanticizing just quitting everything and just greeting people when they walk into the coffee shop and going, hi, and smiling, going, what can I get you?
Yeah, you said boy's adorable.
Until they are like, I want an almond latte with half Splenda, half regular sugar, brown
and
sugar.
And then they yell at you. It.
And by the way, what's the protein content of your almond milk? And you're like, okay.
And then their stroller is blocking the doorway to boy because it's an 8-foot wide stroller, even though you have one baby.
Yes. The boy is quite cramped. Wait, you've been to boy?
Yeah.
Wait, that was open when you still lived in Hoboken?
Uh-huh. It was like fairly new.
Okay. And it's a little chain, so it's spread throughout.
Just one in Jersey City.
Well, our New Yorkers.
Yeah. So does that sound right?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
So tomorrow I'm handing in my resignation letter and I'm going to get a job at a coffee shop.
At Boy.
You got to look up one more part. What does it mean if I dream about Scary Jones?
Oh, yes.
Do you think a coffee shop would be interesting?
Oh, there's an ad and it's from Fat Scary before he did Dr. Fat Loss.
Hiring somebody who only photographs the drinks for Instagram before they're served.
I think that that's great. As long as you agree to do their social for them, I think they'd be happy.
Yeah.
That would be like a small side dream of mine, is that like a side hustle to be a food photographer, because my ex-uncle was one and the stuff was so cool I got to learn about. And he's by far the wealthiest one of the family.
Oh, dang.
Just from taking pictures of food.
Like the stuff that they put on food to make it look good, like glue.
Like glue or lipstick. They'll color strawberries with lipstick.
It's not really cooked at all.
No.
Just seared with an iron.
Yeah.
So crazy.
It's like when your local pizzeria shoots their own menu, it looks gross and greasy.
Yeah.
Because it's real food.
I wish I could say that deterred me.
Never.
It does not.
Never do.
Nope. Bethany, do you have a dream?
I do. So I had this dream when I was in elementary school.
No.
And I remember it to this day.
Holy crap.
Just one? It's just happened once.
Just once.
Okay.
Okay. So I hope I remember this correctly. Okay. So I was living in my childhood house, which was, my bedroom was in the basement. So like my window just like sort of peeped over the top of the lawn and that's about it.
Okay.
And I was coming home from school in the dream and there was a phone ringing, I think. I know there's a phone ringing. I don't quite remember where I was, but there's a phone ringing. It was like sitting on like a gothic pedestal, like where you would normally put like a giant bust of Mozart, like a big marble pedestal. And it was this red telephone. And I answered it, and this woman said, please hold, God is on the line.
Okay, I'll hold.
Like, okay, but then the dream like stops and moves on, and I'm coming home, and I'm outside my house, and the pedestal has been broken, is lying on the ground, the phone is lying on the ground, like everything's in disarray. And I pick up the telephone and listen, and it's just a dial tone. Oh my God. That's the dream.
God needs a better server.
Wait, you were...
God dropped the call?
You were 6 when you had this?
I was maybe 9.
Okay.
Like 9. So it was like there was like a definite like before where everything was nice, and there was like a light streaming down onto the phone, and the phone was ringing, and I answered, and there was a very nice woman on the other end and told me to hold for God, and then it immediately cut, and it was another time, and it was like when you come, it was like if you guys have seen Return to Oz, and Oz is all f***ed up when she gets to Oz, and all the statues are messed up. It's like, it felt like that. Everything was just like destroyed. The phone was off the hook, and then when I picked it up, it was just like a dial tone. No one was there.
This is front facing, very deep. Like, I don't know if we need to Google this one.
Yeah, no, I don't think I'm gonna like what we have to move but it's like, from this.
I was super religious growing up, and so it wasn't like a God is dead sort of thing, because I was like all about God.
So when you woke up, do you remember how you felt?
I felt really disturbed.
Okay. Okay. Like, I wonder if you were, the most basic thought of mine is, I wonder if you were struggling at the time with how deeply you were connected with your religion, or is that like not even a thought at the time? You were like,
I think I was all in at that point.
So maybe this was something you were so devoted to, and then maybe it was a person in your life. I mean, it may just represent like a friend or a parent or a sibling, somebody you were really devoted to, and they let you down.
Oh, that's possible.
Or maybe they just, it doesn't sound like a letting down thing to me, though. Just the fact that it was never there. It sounds like something that's been sought after. I don't feel like disappointment was a part of their end.
Disrupted, rather. Yeah. So somebody did something that disrupted what you believed in or disrupted your everyday routine.
Oh, interesting.
Disrupted your life. How old were you when your parents got divorced?
Oh, that wouldn't happen until very late. But because I was like young, I was like 9 or whatever. I wonder if like there was somebody that I super looked up to you know,
was a figure.
Yeah, that was like a big figure to me that maybe let me down. I don't remember, but that's probably the most believable explanation that I've ever heard.
Because I'm trying to think of the psychology of a 9 year old. What did I care about when I was 9?
It's also kind of an episode of The Twilight Zone. I'm wondering if it was on the background.
Yeah.
The week before that happened.
That's the other thing is you never know, like, we don't live in a vacuum.
Yeah.
So our brain isn't creating all
of
this stuff.
I think that's part of the reason why I dreamt about Kathleen was getting her hair dyed yesterday, which it looks
beautiful.
Thank you.
And I asked her to send me a picture and she's like, yeah, I didn't do it. But I want to. So maybe that is what leaked into how does it look in my dream, except in my dream, instead of hair, it was glasses. And instead of being awesome, you hated it.
You guys had the option to record your dreams every night. Wait, what is that?
That's my coffee maker.
What the hell? Oh, okay.
Your coffee maker knows that you are only 75, or you only drank 10% of your current coffee and it's time for a new one.
I know.
If you had the option to record your dream every night and then wake up and replay it the next day, would you do it?
No.
Hell yes.
No.
Nope. Why not, Sam?
No, because dreams are something that I don't have control over. And I kind of see, I'm someone who remembers almost all a dream a night.
Yeah.
Like I wake up and I remember my dreams. And I'm content to let most of them pass by because I believe that they're a combination of things. So I kind of believe you hear those stories like the woman who was cleaning a statue in her dream of a the woman who had a dream rather her mother was attacked by a cougar and then she woke up and found out her mom had a heart attack while in the living room and she was cleaning a statue she had of a cougar.
Oh my gosh.
So I don't not believe that dreams have these weird ultimate like cosmic powers that we have nothing to do with. But I do think it's like a lot of what your everyday is seeping into and your stress and your worry. Like I dream about work all the time, even if it's lighthearted and work is stress. So that makes sense that it would come in. So I don't want to start screwing with that by allowing my logical, conscious, awake mind to start telling me what it means. Okay. I think that'll put me in a weird place after time.
Sure. Well, I hate to say this next thing, but according to CNN, scientists are working on technology to decipher the imagery, movement, and speech of our dreams.
I ain't signing up for the study.
I am.
Which
I am
means recording them.
That's amazing. See, I would want to because I feel like I've had so many dreams that are just crazy awesome that I wish I could remember and that I feel like I would get so much inspiration from in terms of creating stuff that I would love it.
Yes.
I think so. Kathleen, what about you?
I would do it.
Yeah.
100%. Only because
I want to cross that. I feel like this is Stranger Things where we're welcoming the other side, like the upside down.
I welcome the other side
into the real life. That's not how the show goes, Kathleen.
It depends on what you think dreams are.
That's true.
You know?
Yeah. Well, Stephanie Myers, who wrote Twilight, dreamed it all up and then wrote it down the next day and became a multimillionaire by producing a poorly written book. So,
but she did it with her own memory, not with a playback of her dream.
I mean, I say that out of love because I'm a Twilight head or whatever.
Oh, I read all of them.
You're Twihart.
I'm a Twihart.
Twihart. How long have you been 17?
A while.
A long time.
A long time.
I do. What?
I'm into it.
I'm not into it. The more I think about it, the less I'm into
it. But you're so scared of so many things. Don't you feel like this would be a good thing to like scratch off your list of like not being scared of?
What am I afraid of?
Seeing your dreams. Like
no, it's
going
not a
into
fear.
That world.
I just don't think it's going to benefit the quality of my life.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
I think if anything, it'll just continue. It'll give me more things to try and think about and process. And
gotcha.
it, that's not going to benefit me enough for the time, energy, and whatever else comes with it. It reminds me of like, okay, so I used to, I was given this exercise by a therapist way back when, and it was, I had too many thoughts that are cluttered that I'm trying to think about at once. So it's just, it's a pattern I have. So every day for 10 minutes, within the first couple hours of my morning, I was supposed to just write. And it's not like, dear diary, but it could be if that's what I want to write. And you just write for 10 minutes. And the only rule is you're not allowed to stop writing. So if at some point I got stuck, I would start writing. I don't know what I'm writing about. I don't know what I'm writing about. I don't know what I'm writing about.
So just like stream of consciousness stuff.
Stream of consciousness. Keep going. Sometimes it was a grocery list. Sometimes it was about my dream. Whatever. And then as soon as you're done, you are supposed to crumple it up and throw it away. away and you don't ever get to read it and you don't look at it because it served its purpose by leaving your body. It's like cleansing.
So
feel like, and it helped a lot, and maybe I'll start doing it again, but I feel like knowing my dreams would almost in a way do the reverse of what that is.
That makes total sense.
Real deep with this.
I love it.
This is just supposed to be a fun
I love it
dream chat.
Now let's talk about divorce.
Oh. I used to want to be a divorce lawyer because I thought I'd always be employed. That was my dream as a 10-year-old. Not a wedding planner. I wanted to be a divorce lawyer.
I feel like for as long as I've known you, you've always been very, like, there's a super big side of you that's super romantic and, like, whimsical, but there's also a very practical side of you. Well, it's very pragmatic.
Yeah. I mean,
I like that side of
I don't think divorce lawyers are ever without work, so.
They're
also very wealthy.
Yeah.
That makes me sad.
They sure are.
Would that hurt your heart after time?
I don't know.
Because you're a very sensitive person. It would hurt
Bethany's heart.
Yeah, I think, but it would also teach you so much. I think a divorce lawyer just came out with a book.
Oh, really?
Called, like, Things to... I'm going to look it up because it's like lessons to know before you come to my office.
Huh. Okay.
And, you know,
that's insightful.
Wrote a book.
Wouldn't it be interesting if a divorce lawyer married a marriage therapist?
Yes. Oh. If you know anyone that's happened to, please reach out to us.
Interesting dinner conversation ever.
I like that.
It's called If You're in My Office, It's Already Too Late, A Divorce Lawyer's Guide to Staying Together. But if it was a divorce lawyer and a marriage counselor, they could run like workshops.
Hell yeah.
Huh. You know?
At the end of the session one, you either go into the room to the right or the room to the left.
Like at the end, they both set up separate tables.
Yes. I love it.
Dear.
I love it. I know of a podcast who went to couples therapy.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute. Their podcast, they're a couple and their mm-hmm. podcast is about, no.
No, they're just, the two of them went to couples therapy as friends and coworkers on their podcast to make sure that they were like communicating well.
I love that.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's important.
I had a friend who... After like dating this guy for it was like a month and a half, he's like, I think we need to go to couples therapy. And I was like, girl, you need to break up with him.
Oh my God. Because that's the movie, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Because like after a month and a half, if it's a struggle, that's not the right pairing.
No, you're still in sex all the time mode.
Yeah.
Yes.
Unless you're not having sex yet, in which case you're thinking about sex all the time mode.
In which case... You shouldn't.
That's just my mode.
I was going to tie
I've never been in or out of that mode. That's just a one speed thing.
I was going to tie that back into Bethany's dream about God not believing. He's not watching. Just do it. He's not watching.
No. Kathleen's digging a hole.
I'm sorry.
Deeper and deeper.
Just cover myself.
I love it. Can we start calling her the couch cushions? Like sometimes things come out of there that you never knew fell deep down in those cracks in the first place.
I think
God exists, just not in Bethany's dream.
Not in that one.
We don't know. I've never met God. Are you there, God?
Are you guys into this show? I just started watching it. It's called The Good Place. It's on Netflix.
I've seen a couple episodes. It was very... The episodes I saw, I loved.
So Kristen Bell and...
Ted
Danson.
Ooh.
Guys, it is hilarious. It is not the type of show... I think it's like on CBS, and just by principle, I don't think I ever watch anything on CBS.
Yeah.
CBS is kind of like a channel for old people, right?
It has been in the past.
What's good on CBS?
People really love
The Office.
People really love Big Bang Theory.
I know. People love that show.
I don't really like that show. Mm.
I haven't seen enough episodes to have an opinion.
Bazinga.
Was The Office? No, The Office was NBC.
The Office was NBC.
So, Kristen Bell dies.
Yes.
And
first episode.
First episode.
What? No spoiler. It's the show.
I was just going to ask if I should start watching it, and now I'm filled with rage. Kristen Bell dies?
Literally she dies.
What is the horrible writer who would do that to her?
And she gets to an office, which is not heaven. Mm-hmm. It's The Good Place.
Okay.
And there is no God. There's Ted Danson.
Yeah.
And it's like... adds up all the good things that you've done in your life, and you get points for some stuff and deductions for others. And if you have enough points, you end up in the good place.
Yeah. It's a karma balance.
It is a karma balance.
Yeah. And then you get paired with someone who is your soulmate.
Yeah. you get paired in the afterlife with a person
in the good place.
In the good place with a person that's your soulmate.
Yeah.
But they have to be good too, right? Because they got in the good place.
Yeah, you're in the good place. Okay. As are they, yeah.
So they're good.
Yeah.
So it's all good.
It is so funny. The writers of this show deserve many awards.
It's very clever.
Do I just start this or do I start Schitt's Creek?
Schitt's Creek.
No, the good place.
Oh, come on. Now there's trouble in River City.
How many seasons of the good place are there?
There's two on Netflix and they're quick. They're like half hour episodes.
Mine are 20 minutes. Mine are 20 minutes.
I think I watched 10 in one day.
Oh, God.
I watched a full season.
I shouldn't be bragging about that. It means I don't do anything.
Carol Burnett just endorsed Schitt's Creek.
That's damning. That's a good one.
Can't ever be Carol Burnett.
Who do you have?
I'm done.
Liza with a Z? Because that would count. No?
Liza Minnelli.
Should we just go around the table and say what we learned this week? And by this week, we mean last 24 hours. Because again, we recorded this in advance because we love you. Yeah, and we love this.
We want to make sure that you guys have stuff.
I'll go first.
Okay.
Thanks. Okay.
Recently I had a leak underneath my sink and Neil and I were like, there's random puddles of water on our kitchen floor.
My apartment ghost!
Yeah, but next to our sink. So we knew that it was like the dishwasher or the sink. And so it turned out in like a weird series of happenstance, however you want to call it, address it. There was a bowl sitting underneath the sink that was catching all of this water for a really long time until the bowl got too full. And then just sort of like slowly started spilling over.
Who put the bowl there?
It was just like a bowl I was storing underneath the sink.
Oh, so okay. It was an accident that it was catching all the water.
It was an accident.
I thought it was the tenants before Kathleen and Neil, and it was the world's slowest
leak. It was an accident.
Yeah.
But because of that, when water runs over a bowl, it disperses on every edge.
Yeah. Sure.
So there's a lot of water damage because it wasn't just like one stream where the water was going. There's just a lot of water everywhere.
It was a perfectly level bowl, unfortunately.
It was a fountain.
I was cleaning the floor the other day or last night, and I looked down and went, oh my God, what are all these little white bugs?
Oh no. No. Oh no.
I have what's called a wood mite.
Oh no.
And they're in some of the cracks in my wood kitchen floor. And this was my solution. And so this doesn't have to apply to bugs in your house. It can apply to anything. I squirted bleach in the cracks and then I covered it with painter's tape so they couldn't get out.
Oh, well, that part makes
sense. So career problems.
I get it. But the way you said
squirt
it made me sad.
Bleach in the cracks and just cover it with painter's tape.
Oh,
blemish
gosh.
Issues. Squirt bleach in
don't
the
you no please don't take Kathleen's tape. Advice no blemishes
if it doesn't
bleach.
Burn it's not working
Kathleen I swear
you
to
said
you,
that once before that you burned stop. Your face off
I did.
And then we went to Sephora and met that wonderful human being and he said no
yeah. Yes so that's what I'm dealing with right now.
Oh, that's I'm sorry
I don't even know that those things existed.
Have you looked them up how long until you think you're gonna be cleansed?
Until I take the tape off and see if they're all dead.
Life cycle of a wood mite.
I don't know how deep it goes. I think my whole kitchen needs to be gutted.
Look up foods that wood mites like and then put out the opposite of that food.
It's not food, it's wood. It's rotted wood.
So it's like a termite, but a little
one.
Yeah,
like a less serious termite thing.
So it tells jokes?
And I don't like things that kill animals because I have a little kitty cat.
Yeah. Oh, boy. You're on a pickle.
Okay. This is from hunker.com. How to get rid of wood mites, says Charlie Higgins.
Hi, Charlie.
Mm. They're tiny, harmless bugs. They often live in old, damp wood. They usually don't bother humans unless you're a snake owner or a cigar aficionado.
Of which I'm not.
Mm-hmm. Kathleen is both.
blah, 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 bleep, blah, bloop. Okay, inspect the area thoroughly. Locate any mites. Wood mites are tiny white bugs. Bleep, yeah. Blah, bloop. Purchase an anti-mite insecticide. No, because she has a cat.
It's 2018. There has to be an all-natural fix for this.
I don't know.
Do you want me to come over and sage your apartment? I know several blessings.
I got to tell my landlord, but there's so many things I have to tell her about.
purchase the hypoaspis mite. Available at many gardening supply stores and online, the hypoaspis mite is a predatory mite that will quickly consume the wood mites.
So fighting fire with fire.
Yes. I hope it's just one giant ass mite.
And then once they've consumed all the wood mites, they die off in a matter of days.
Really?
Yes. And
so
then this also says,
it.
If they have invaded your cigar humidor, place it in the freezer.
Oh.
Can we
what
see?
What is a cigar humidor? I have no idea.
Well, you don't know what a cigar humidor is?
I thought a humidor was a room.
It's a tiny little case that keeps your cigars at the right like moistness. Like my dad has, he made one out of a sponge. He wets a sponge and then puts them in a plastic container.
It's also a room.
It's a room, right?
Yeah.
Because like in movies, don't they say to the gentleman, let's retire to the humidor.
Yeah, you want to keep the door closed because you want the humidity level to stay at a certain.
Yeah, but I don't know the wealth of that life. Right. So in my world, it's a box with a sponge.
So what did you guys learn this week?
I learned that there are simple solutions, even if you yourself cannot come up with them, which is why you should always ask for help. Because I was just whining yesterday to my new nutritionist because I hate working out, and I was just bitching and whining.
Do you hate the whole process, or do you hate it before and then you leave the gym sprightly and happy?
I don't leave sprightly and happy. I don't really like it at all, but the biggest problem is that I just don't like there's mirrors everywhere, and I don't like how I look in workout clothes.
Yeah.
And so it's like it's hard to not see yourself from across the way, even if you're trying not to. And my nutritionist and I was just like, so there's nothing to be done. I just can't work out.
And then you fainted on the couch.
Yeah, and then I did. And she revived me with smelling salts. And then she was like, okay, what you're going to do is you're going to start working out in baggy clothes then. And I'm like, yeah, but I don't have anything. And I don't like what I have. And she goes, okay, you're going to go to Target and you're going to get some of their really cool graphic tees of like old bands. And you're going to order them really big.
Yeah.
And you're going to work out in that. And I'm like, but where's a Target by me? I live in Manhattan. And she was like, Target.com. And I could no longer argue.
My computer's not in my hand.
I know. So that was literally, that was what I needed. And then so yesterday night, I went on Target.com. I bought 4 really cool graphic tees.
Hey.
And they're going to come over the weekend. And then I'm going to have a really cool, like, oversized shirt to work out in. And I'm not going to worry about it.
Hell
so, like,
yeah.
If you have a problem and you don't know how to solve it, that doesn't mean that someone else won't have a great idea. But you have to ask for help.
I love that.
Yes.
We love that.
Sam, what did you learn?
Mine is something you also learned this week. Take as prescribed is more than a suggestion. It's really just what you should do.
Nope, I don't believe it.
Trust me.
What didn't you take as prescribed?
So I got these, I have this thing where I wake up at least once in the middle of the night, and it's not always to pee, usually is to pee. But sometimes it's just like, I missed my alarm because we get up before the sun is up. So we could wake up in the middle of the night and still think we're late for work.
Yeah.
So I look at my phone. It's always between midnight and 2. So I was like, I need to figure out a way just to stay asleep through the night. But I don't think I'm anywhere where I want to take a prescribed thing yet.
Yeah. And those are gnarly, too. Yeah, those things scare me.
Really? In the morning.
Yeah. See, I'm afraid of that, too. It'll make it harder to, you know, whatever.
And you like sleepwalk and like buy things in the middle of the night.
Maybe I already take them.
Ooh, those things are so scary.
Yeah, I just was like, all right, let me figure something out. So I found this weighted sleep mask and melatonin spray. I've never taken melatonin, but it said on the bottle 1 to 2 spritz max. So
in your mouth or
you put it on your neck.
Okay.
But right before you're going to sleep.
So if you spit yourself 10 times, you turn into Sleeping Beauty.
Maybe I'll test that theory tonight, because I was assuming it looks like a little perfume bottle. So I was expecting a smell.
Yeah.
So I spritzed myself and I didn't smell anything. So I did the second prescribed spritz and I didn't smell anything. I'm like, this is defective. So
it's
I sprayed
water.
An extra 2 times.
Oh, no.
Until I looked up that it had no smell. So I'm like, it's probably fine. And then I put the weighted blanket on, like my weighted sleep mask on. And not only did I sleep through the night, but when I woke up, it was like that Kristen Wiig sketch from SNL where she's like, my fingers are locked. I can't move. My eyes are open.
Sleep paralysis.
I wanted my roommate to come take the mask off my eyes because I was so locked and loaded in this heavy sleep.
That's amazing.
It took a physical effort to lift my hands to take this weighted mask off my eyes. So the good news is it worked. That's all I got. Like,
wow.
I almost started crying when I was washing my face because it felt like I took NyQuil. Ooh,
chemicals.
Like, it was too much. I overdid it.
Well, sure. By two.
It was my first time. I should have just sprayed maybe I'm a one spritzer.
Yeah.
Maybe I totally quadrupled my necessary spray of melatonin.
Where'd you get this stuff?
It's, I gotta look it up. They're both from one website.
So you spray it like on your throat?
You spray it on your neck like a perfume.
And it goes into your skin.
I guess so, because it's crazy. Not going in my nose.
I'm thinking of like somebody who doesn't want to celebrate Valentine's Day or doesn't want to go home to their family for Thanksgiving. They just spray themselves 20 times. And when they wake up, it's like the next week.
Yeah. I like that. Or when your family starts to go to sleep, you go around spraying them so you have brunch all to yourself.
Or like grandma won't stop asking you why you're not married yet. So you're like, grandma, come here. And you just spray her 5 times and she falls over.
Gosh, my grandma should use that because my grandmother cannot sleep and she talks herself out of anything working. Because so if she knows she's taking something, she'll decide it won't work and then it won't work. Like she just has decided it won't work. So if you do, but you can't get her to swallow something without her knowing, but you can spray her.
Yes, you can
secretly spray her. Dang. I think the mask and the spray were each like individually $30. So it's totally worth a try.
Worth it.
That's what I learned this week.
Amazing. That's good information.
Yeah, well. I'll post a picture when I find what it is. I'll do that.
I'd like to buy this.
Maybe on our Insta story, which is at Acquired Taste Podcast.
On Twitter, we are at Acquired Podcast.
And on Facebook, Acquired Taste Podcast. And a shout out to the Acquired Taste Podcast fan group. They are very active.
Yay!
We love you.
Yes,
I go in there and I creep all the time and read people's messages and click on their profiles. And hey, Michelle from Maine. Sorry. What
love
did
it.
I say?
You have another dozen pen pals this week.
You can also find us. We have a P.O. box. If you feel like
you find us in the box,
find us in the box. We live there.
A P.O. box.
If that's a thing that will serve you, an Acquired Taste Podcast, P.O. box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey, 07030.
Should we make a jingle for that?
Yes.
Do you remember Zoom? The show Zoom?
I was just gonna say this.
No.
It was this like,
02134.
Send it to Zoom. It was like this sort of like low budget PBS kids show.
Caffeinated 90s children rejoice.
Yes. And it was filmed in Boston.
Amazing.
Boston, Mass. 02134. So kids could remember where to send stuff to them.
That's diabolical.
We should work on our jingle.
Yes.
Okay. Well, maybe we'll have some ideas next week.
For sure. You can find us all individually on social media as well. I am Ms. Bethany Watson on Instagram and Facebook, and then Radio Bethany on Twitter.
I am Web Girl Kathleen on everything.
And I am Sam_RO. I can't say Sam underscore and then spell my name. Sam_ROSALIE on Instagram.
Rosalie.
Guys, thanks so much for playing along with us this week. We encourage you to maybe not decode your dream or, according to Bethany and Kathleen, do it.
Do it and only take medicine as prescribed by your doctor or as prescribed on the bottle.
Meh.
One spritz first.
One spritz will do ya.